Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. So find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
3, 2, 1.
From Los Angeles,
it's the PHP,
the Perez Hilton
podcast.
With my man,
Chris Booker,
it's Booker baby,
and the one and only world famous Perez,
Perez Hilton.
It's the PHP.
Why, hello, and welcome to the PHP. I'm Booker. That's Perez. How are you?
I'm good. This week, a lot of stuff in addition to this, but we're going to start off mentioning that we're talking, again, unfortunately, about Meghan Markle and her latest offensiveness. Everybody's exploiting Britney Spears. Scott Disick, out of control. Kourtney Kardashian, also out of control. Wendy Williams, very out of control. And like I said at the very beginning, a lot more. But how are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much. How you been?
That's it. What happened in your life in the last 7 days?
You didn't ask that. You asked how I was. I told you I'm good.
Okay.
Let me see. I went to Modest Mouse over the weekend. Saw that band play.
I am so out of the loop. I don't even know about show. Where did they play?
Downtown at the Ace Hotel Theater.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
They had that song, All Right, Already. We all float on. That one?
Right. Yep, float on.
That was a good song.
Yeah. We Are Betweens, their new song, which is really good too. It really sounds really 80s, kind of. Everything sounds 80s again. It's weird how the 80s have come roaring back.
Your station plays their new song?
Yeah.
Cool.
What else did I do? I had a dog birthday party yesterday. That was fantastic. I had nothing to do with it, but, you know, it happened.
Well, that's cool. I went to pick up some presents with my kids for my daughter's 4th birthday. So I like to do this thing where I have the siblings buy presents for their own brother sister.
That's nice.
So her birthday's next week. And then we also went to the beach for a birthday party, which was sort of nice. But like, I'm the dad, right? So like, don't get in the water. Because it was freezing, and it was so, like, the water was freezing, and there was no sun out either. It was a overcast, chilly weekend in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Fall is here in LA, which is pretty wild.
I think I'm also just, like, I'm going through a funk because, I don't know, I don't think we're back to normal yet. And it's like, you're realizing that, and it's like, this is just so depressing. Like, I just want to be back to normal.
Yeah, it may be a while.
Well, I read this morning that the Pfizer CEO said we're not going to be back to normal for another year.
They said that a year ago, too.
Yeah, I know. Like, what the hell? Oh, whatever. But it's not all, like, gloom. There was a moment of glimmering sunshine. Jay Leno, remember him?
Mm-hmm. Helen's dad worked for Jay.
Oh, cool. What did he do again?
He worked at the Tonight Show.
I mean, doing what? Advertising or something like that?
No. He was the head of the Page program for many, many years.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, Jay Leno mentioned me on his new game show.
Cool.
He's got a show called You Bet Your Life. And there was like a question. It was something like, what thing is this pose named after? And then it was like three different types of snakes. And the fourth option was Perez Hilton.
That happened to me once on what's the Sunday night show that was really hot for 5 seconds online and everybody played
online?
Yeah. Oh, it was like a multiple choice thing and they gave away $1 million or something every week.
Remember
that?
Yeah.
This is like maybe a couple of years back and everybody was playing it.
Yeah, I remember this. I remember this.
But I was one of the questions too. It was like, which person was not an MTV VJ? You know, it's like Ananda Lewis, Chris Booker. And I'm like, oh my God, I made it. Like, cool. It was a highlight of my career.
I forget what that was called, but I don't even think that's around anymore.
What was it called?
Something trivia in it, I think. Anyways, so that was that. I was thankful for that. Thank you, Jalen. You should have me on the show as a contestant. I love game
shows.
You
want to win some money.
Anyways, people got really heated over our conversation last week on Schitt's Creek.
Oh my God. Did you see all of the back and forth on Twitter? It was great.
I mean, I still stand behind everything I said.
You weren't wrong. You watched two episodes and you just didn't think it was great in two episodes. And everyone's telling you, watch more because it's a great, great show. I mean, think about the Emmys last year. It swept every actor won. It won every category. It's that good of a show. It's very funny.
I mean, maybe it gets better as the seasons go on.
It's not maybe. It does.
All right.
I said on Twitter, my favorite retort was, Perez is the kind of guy that likes to judge the art in a museum from the street. Okay, like you need to see the whole thing. You need to see all of the art.
Anyways, people that did not listen to our show did not hear that I was watching it on a plane and they did not have season one. They only had three episodes.
And by the way, isn't that the weirdest thing in the world? Like, who gives you that option? Like, watch season fucking two. That makes no sense.
They only had the first three episodes of season two. Hmm. And I was like, all right, I watched more than one. I watched two episodes. And after two, I was like, okay, I don't need to watch episode three. Hmm. Like, I gave it more than one chance. And it wasn't bad. I never said I did not enjoy it.
Let's move on. Expected it to be better. It's a phenomenal show. Just need to watch it all.
Why would I watch it all if I did not resonate?
As I said last weekend, that's like picking four random minutes from a movie.
All right, whatever.
Judging the entire movie on those four random minutes.
Speaking of television, very sad news that actor Willie Garson, who played Stanford Blanche on Sex and the City, he was also on that show White Collar with Matt Bomer that did run a long time. I never watched it.
I did. I liked that show a lot.
It had a following that ran for,
I loved it,
for six seasons, which, you know, in showbiz, a show for six seasons is a long time.
That was like one of those USA shows. Like, if you ever wonder who's the person watching those USA shitty shows, it's this guy right here, you know.
Well, you just watch Suits and everything else. A ton of television.
It's funny that you say that. I don't have a TV on in my house ever during the day, and we typically watch one to two shows a night. And that's it. So it's just, I just watch something every day. That's all that I do.
And then you go to bed late. All right. Well, you don't have kids. You don't have kids.
That's true. Well, I don't stay up late either. I mean, we're in bed by 10:30. So.
So he passed away. Very sad. 57 years young. He died of pancreatic cancer. And I did not know this until after he died. He was not gay. I just assumed he was. He played that part on Sex and the City so convincingly that it wasn't a caricature. You know, it wasn't like he's acting gay. I thought he was really gay.
Huh.
That was very sad. Sarah Jessica Parker did not speak on it for days until she finally did. And she said something along the lines of, sometimes silence makes the biggest noise, or something like that. They knew each other before Sex and the City, even. You know, they were friends for a long time, as was Kristen Davis and Kim Cattrall, I don't think, said anything about it. But then again, she hates Sex and the City, apparently.
I thought I did see a comment from her.
You did? Oh.
I want to look that up. I believe that I did.
Oh, let me look it up real
said
quick.
Said something that he was part of the family. And I believe it was Kim. I don't think it was... It wasn't
no.
Sarah Jessica. You sure?
I'm almost
positive I saw something and I was like, oh, that was nice of her.
At least not on Instagram. Maybe she said it somewhere else, but all of the other ladies have spoken up on Instagram. Whatevs. Let's just say she said something. Over the weekend on television, all over the world, the Global Citizen Festival aired, and Meghan Markle and Prince Harry were in New York for that, but they also decided to do some meetings and take some time to do some, I wouldn't even call it charity work, but they, you know, met some kids in Harlem and they went to the 9/11 remembrance. And a lot of people, it's fascinating to me that the majority of the people who send hate to Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, they direct that hate mainly to her. Mm-hmm. He does not get as much hate as she does. And there has to be a reason for that. Some might say it's racial. Some might say
she's more annoying than he is.
Some might say it's misogynist. Some might say it's both or all of that. Like, it's upsetting and draining to me. Imagine what it must feel like to her. You know, people were picking apart. Last week it was, oh, she was wearing all these this jewelry on the cover of that magazine. This week it's, she went to see children in Harlem and was dressed in such expensive clothes.
I just saw her in like... Heavy coats, and it's like 70 degrees in New York. And I was like, what is she wearing? It's very hot in New York.
Fashion.
No, here's the thing. And you got to understand this. They bowed out of...
No, that is not true.
They don't want anything to do with being royals. But now they're still being royals. That's the thing. But I'm just telling you, that's the thing. You don't want to do this, but you still want the dressings of it.
What they did not want, and I understand this, they did not want the palace to dictate their lives. They wanted to be able to make their own decisions for themselves as adults. That seems very reasonable to me. Yeah, they're now still being royals and doing royal shit.
But that's the thing. Like, you don't want to do it, but yet you go out and do it.
It's just like, make up your mind.
They want to do what they want to do with it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said.
But that's not how it works.
Then they're changing how it works.
Not really. People are like, fine, don't be a royal. We're done. Go away. That's what people are thinking. Like, this is how royal things are done. You do it that way or you don't. And then they're out there doing it their way. And everyone's like, wait a minute, time out. I thought you guys were done with this crap.
I will say it was a little weird to see them. It was as if they were on a royal tour of New York. And they're not our royals. They're not royalty to us.
And there you get the whole, why are these two making such a fuss about themselves?
I totally think it's great to do charitable work, but all of their stops on this tour were documented by the press. It's like, you can do your charity work and not have it be a media moment every time. I don't know. I guess they're figuring it all out, though.
I find them annoying, and I think it's okay if other people find them annoying.
Do you really, truly find them annoying, or are you just saying that for attention?
Who am I trying to get attention from?
All of the people that hate them, which is a lot of people.
First of all, I don't think anyone hates them.
A lot of people hate them,
people
especially
find
her.
Them to be annoying, which I do. They're like gnats. It's like, go away. You didn't want to be a part of it, then go. Don't be a part of it. Get off my set. That's what people are thinking. That's all. I'm just telling you what it is.
At the end of the day, this is also what it is. Two people trying to do good in this world simultaneously while making themselves money, which I see nothing wrong with, because there's lots of people that just focus on making themselves money and not also focusing on doing good in the world. There are these two people trying to do good in the world that are constantly being attacked and criticized and overanalyzed for everything that they do.
And that are incredibly annoying at it.
All right, let's keep it moving. From Meghan Markle to Britney Spears, somebody else that is analyzed and some might say possibly too scrutinized. In 2021, there now have been 5 Britney Spears documentaries. Mm-hmm. The first one was that New York Times documentary Framing Britney Spears. Then the BBC did one. Then last week, it was announced on Netflix that they are going to be releasing their Britney Spears documentary. Then, haha, surprise, after Netflix announced their documentary that comes out on Tuesday, the New York Times announced that their sequel... their follow-up...
There's a sequel.
Yeah. It's called Controlling Britney Spears. Friday night, it was announced that it's coming out. And then also over the weekend, CNN released their own Britney Spears documentary.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. All of them interviewing insiders and having more information. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it makes sense because the New York Times, for example, that's the one that... that's out already. I haven't really seen much from the Netflix one because it's not out yet. Mm-hmm. The New York Times says that after their last documentary that came out earlier this year, that a bunch of whistleblowers felt compelled to speak out. Mm-hmm. And they gave them a bunch of information. Some of the allegations discussed in the New York Times documentary is that Britney was more than living under a microscope, that her father was looking and hearing everything, having access to her phones, her laptops. Her house, according to the security person, was wired. People could hear everything. Her father responded through his lawyer saying that the court and Britney was aware of all of this. Mm-hmm. But still, your cat's driving me crazy. Oh, my God.
You hear
it? What's wrong with your cat?
You gotta go. She's just so mouthy. She just is like this. She needs attention.
I mean, even if you're aware that you're being recorded as part of your conservatorship, that would still upset me. That would still infuriate me. That would still make me not want to speak up or say anything or just... what an awful way to live. It goes back to something that I brought up. I think when we mentioned that these documentaries were being made, Britney in June of this year discussed how at least the New York Times documentary made her feel awful and she did not like it. Mm-hmm. Now there's all these multiple documentaries and like, I don't think she'll like it either, you know? And it's like all of these people are truly just exploiting her for money, right?
Did you watch the trailer for the Netflix one? I mean, it's very pro-Britney. It's very, very free Britney
people.
Yeah,
I get that.
But that's what I've always said, though. Anyone could present an agenda any way they want to present an agenda. They can make it look as if it's the deck's loaded this way or it's that way. You can craft the story the way you want, and that's how these documentaries are typically done. So you'll see the New York Times one, which could be completely different from this new Netflix one. And the bottom line is back to what you said. Who knows? I mean, nobody insiders. Inside my nuts, please.
I mean, one of the... I don't know if I would describe it as a good thing, but one of the things, at least with the New York Times new documentary Controlling Britney Spears, the Netflix one is called Britney versus Spears, and I don't remember the name of the CNN one because I didn't watch that. It wasn't just the father. There were other parties also involved. I think the name of one woman was like Robin Greenhill or something like that. Like, there were many people involved in making Britney's life miserable. It was this huge operation, and even her bodyguards, they really weren't just bodyguards. They were like prison guards too. Ugh, awful. Her fiance, Sam Asghari, has spoken out about all of these documentaries. On Instagram, he commented on somebody's post about the Netflix doc saying, "I hope the profit from these docs go towards fighting against injustice." Yeah, I don't see that happening.
The profits are going to go to Netflix, bottom line.
Yeah, and Hulu, where the New York Times one is. And honestly, like, I don't even know if they're going to get that much ratings. Like you mentioned, the people might be experiencing, you know, Britney burnout, Britney fatigue. Yeah.
That's my sense. I mean, if we just look at our audience alone, I know they've tuned out from this conversation. They're so done with Britney. They're just done because it all goes back down to nobody really knows. It's another show of speculation, insiders, bullshit. I think that's the crux of it. People are bored of it. They've realized that they don't know.
They were insiders because these people did speak on the record, from her former tour manager to her former wardrobe stylist and other people, you know.
And it doesn't mean that they're lying. It doesn't mean, it just means that they're,
it's just what they saw.
Part, it's right. And it's one little part, little tiny sliver of what actually goes on.
But if they saw something, they saw something, you know.
Right. The reality could be the complete opposite of what they saw. It just, no one knows. That's why this story is just, you know, we're beating a dead horse here.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens in court this week. My prediction is that the conservatorship will remain in place. That's all of the indications that I've seen. That's what her lawyer, I think, is expecting. I think actually that's what her lawyer wants.
They wanted the dad out and they wanted someone new to oversee this. So
it's weird that the lawyer does not want the conservatorship to end just yet.
Pot of gold.
Yeah. And that break that Britney took from social media did not last long. She's already back on Instagram, and she revealed that she went to Palm Springs with her fiance and they had a nice time. Good for her. Happy for her, truly. You know, next week we'll be reporting that she's pregnant. I would not be surprised. All right, in more Netflix news, I don't like this. It leaves an unsavory taste in my mouth. Netflix has announced that they are making, or have made, and will be releasing a sequel to Tiger King. Not much is known about it, but Netflix did tease that that guy, Joe Exotic, is going to be on it. In fact, they put up a photo of him on their Twitter from jail, like on a jail phone behind glass. Now, you might know this. I don't know for sure, but I don't think that a prisoner is allowed to make money while
off of a crime,
while in prison.
I don't know if that's true. I think if you've been convicted of some sort of crime, there's no way you're allowed to profit from the crime. Now, he could have just said, I'm not making any money from this, and I agreed to be a part of your special. I'm not taking any loot.
I don't buy that, though.
And you know what? There's probably some... I'll pat your back later on, blah, blah, blah. There always is.
His lawyer, I'm sure, is getting paid. And then
something's happening. You're right.
Or they agreed to pay his legal bills so that he could try to get out of jail or whatever. I just know. I know. You know. I'm the skeptic now. Like, there's zero chance that dude agreed to be a part of this without somehow feeling it's really worth his time, meaning money, or that his lawyers are being... Maybe that's it.
I wouldn't say zero. I think it's just thirst. And I think that he knows that keeping himself relevant in any way possible is money down the line. You know what I mean? It's just more eyeballs on him. If there's no money now, there'll be money later,
I guess. But Carol Baskin, for one, is not happy about this and is definitely not a part of the sequel. She went on a big old rant about why would she take part in it, because she was burned by the makers of it the first time around, and blah, 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 blah. I guess I understand. But the weird thing is that, like, not only was that Joe Exotic guy shady, but there were so many other shady people involved, and animal abuse and real crimes. Like, so many of the people affiliated with Tiger King have also either, you know, faced legal consequences over the last 12 months or died. Or, I mean, there's a lot of material for a sequel, but still, it's like all these shady mofos.
The whole thing's a dirtbag circus. And that's the thing, even when you look at the topic matter, what it is, like, you've got animals that are caged up in these places where they should not be caged up. I mean, it's a bad look. And even to make a sequel, kind of makes you feel a little dirty too. Like, hey, what are you doing going in on this again? We gave you a pass the first time, but now you're trying to make some more money off of these animals that are still somewhere in a cage. It smells of shit to me.
That's showbiz.
Yeah, you're right. If there's a dollar to be made, someone will mine it.
All right. Before we get on to all the Kardashian drama this week, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it could be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. So Scott Disick, Kourtney Kardashian's baby daddy, has, I guess, pulled a Kanye in extreme. Scott Disick went and not only unfollowed Kourtney Kardashian, he also unfollowed all the Kardashians on Instagram. It should be noted that the Kardashians have begun filming for their new Hulu reality show. So the timing of that might be suspect.
Yeah.
Or he's just still going through it all. Poor guy. He's all by himself now. He's not with his girlfriend anymore.
The guy's a dope. And he's famous for nothing. And he's banging young Hollywood every 5 seconds. I'm sorry. I'm not going to really shed too many tears for poor Scott Disick. The fucking guy has zero talent whatsoever and is famous.
Yeah, he got real lucky. And not only famous, rich, because he did that show for so long.
Yeah.
Part of me does think that Kourtney Kardashian is being so extra with Travis Barker to make him jealous. I get it. You're so into Travis. You're loving this new relationship. Do you need to keep, like, literally humping him in public whenever you go places?
Right.
I saw a photo of them at Knott's Scary Farm, and she literally was, like, he was carrying her like a kid. Like, she was, like, sprawled on top of him. She jumped him, and they were making out. And that was the photo on the red carpet or the purple carpet or whatever carpet color it was. I mean, it might be to make Scott Disick jealous or just to get attention as well.
I think it's the latter. I think it's just attention. I think the attention has typically always been on
Kim and Kylie.
Kanye and Kylie. And all of them are sort of laying back in the weeds. They're providing the content now. It's weird because they're older and you would think that they wouldn't. You know, that they would almost shy away from it. Like Ben and Jen, you would think that they would say, no way. Yeah, right. Wrong. It's like they missed it. They craved it. They need it. It's just their drug.
I know a lot about that.
Yeah. And
it's addictive.
I think that's what it is. And I think that they're both really into this press at the moment. Maybe they missed it at some point. I don't know.
And that's
a new level for both of them.
You know, the main reason the Kardashians have been able to sustain for as long as they have is that there's so many of them.
There's so many, yeah.
So there's always going to be drama or newness or craziness, excitement coming from one of them, and they all help each other, and they can all make the story bigger, and yada, yada, yada.
It's almost like the thing spun and it landed on her, and she's like, all right, well, now I gotta go out and be the content. And that's what it feels like,
especially because she's the one that wanted to quit the show for the longest time,
because she didn't. That's what I mean. Like, she was the one that was sort that, and by the way, that's why I liked her, because I thought she was kind of cool. Now I see her slobbering all over this dude constantly and I'm just like, ugh, thirsty is just parched constantly. Needs it. So
I'm thirsty.
Maybe they're
too.
Just that in love.
I'm thirsty too, but you know. All right. Speaking of the Kardashians, it was very nice for me to see that Kanye West is making an effort to spend time with his children. Kanye just bought a new Malibu bachelor pad. God, I remember when I first moved to Los Angeles in 2002. I've always loved real estate.
We both share that passion.
Yeah, like in architecture. I love architecture. Like, I've always just been fascinated by it, and I've just always known prices, right? Like, I remember in the early 2000s, 2002, a really expensive Malibu mansion was maybe $10 million. Kanye spent $60 million for his Malibu mansion. But that's nice because, you know, he's still got his Wyoming Ranch, but I'm just happy to see that he's willing to spend time and devoted to his kids, because Kim's not moving to Wyoming and the kids are here.
There's a fun article you should look up about LA's new million-dollar neighborhoods. It was just out, maybe the LA Times this week, but it's wild because, to your thought, I moved here, 13, 14 years ago. What you could get then for $1 million now is like $2.5 million in Los Angeles. It doesn't even seem possible. But some people argue that the amount of land here is so finite that it actually may be undervalued if you compare it to some major cities and such. But it's insane. Like Reseda, there's $1 million houses in Reseda. No one would think that that neighborhood would crack $1 million, and Inglewood, all these neighborhoods, and they have. It's insane.
I keep thinking about Las Vegas, and the crazy thing about Vegas is that there's still so much land. There's still so much room to build things in Vegas. And they are, like, they're constantly building. That's why, like, if I were ever to move to Vegas, I cannot buy a crazy expensive house, because I don't think that value would hold up.
But think about Palm Springs. Like Palm Springs, we mentioned earlier, Brittany was there. Like, I had a house in Palm Springs and it was tiny. I mean, it was a tiny little house. I should have kept it, because it is literally worth double what I sold it for. Double. 4 years ago. And there's nothing in that whole community. There used to be, like, I'd drive down the street and, you know, every street would have a house or two that was for sale. Nothing. There's nothing available. And it's insane. Like, so maybe, I don't know, I got to think Vegas is next. You know, just people would say, you know, that is an hour flight. It's easy.
There's just so much land in Vegas that's still available to build on.
You would think Palm Springs too. There's nothing but desert. I mean, think behind Palm Springs. It's just desert.
But I don't know
if
that's available to be bought and built on.
I don't know why it wouldn't be.
The government owns it or something. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think there's as much land in Palm Springs. Anyway, from Palm Springs to New York, Wendy Williams is out of the hospital. We still don't know exactly what she was treated for. It was allegedly for psychiatric services, according to multiple reports. I guess this is good. After she's released from the hospital, she was spotted out shopping in a wheelchair.
Okay.
If you're still that unwell, like, I would maybe consider just staying home.
Doesn't she have Amazon Prime? Because, you know, they'll deliver that shit right to your house.
Maybe she just wanted to be photographed. I don't know. That could be a possibility, too.
Let's go with that.
But according to a new report, leading up to this hospitalization, Wendy was drinking alcohol every day. And allegedly, she would drink even while filming her show, which became a big problem. And people were afraid to tell her anything. They were afraid they would get fired. Wishing her well. Also wishing Rose McGowan well.
What's up with Rose?
I don't know how I want to describe. I will just state the facts, and that's it. There we go. I'm just going to state the facts. I don't know if you knew this or not, but Rose McGowan, for like at least a year or so, has been living in Mexico, like in Tulum, I think, like near Cancun. She posted on Twitter last night that somebody is trying to kill her, that somebody broke into her home, and she says that Democrats are trying to kill her.
Okay.
Or it could just be people in Mexico know that a Hollywood celebrity lives down there and they're just trying to rob her.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Or where they think there's some money.
Yeah,
she may
there's
not
probably
even...
no money there.
Yeah,
no.
I don't know.
That money is... That boat has sailed.
I mean, one of the reasons she moved to Mexico might be because it's cheaper. Yeah, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Wishing her well. I don't want to speculate what's going on because I don't know what's going on with her. I don't know anything other than what she shared. But I'm not saying I don't believe her either. You know, I don't think she posted this video of her front door unhinged, where clearly somebody like broke into her house. Like, I don't think she broke into her own house. I don't think she did that just for publicity or attention.
Right.
I wish her well.
I don't think Pete Buttigieg knocked down her front door.
I mean, I don't think so either. or like Antifa. Everybody blaming Antifa for things.
You said she said Democrat. Not even Republicans. That's weird.
No, she's like a Republican now.
Interesting.
Everybody should just blame it. She should have blamed Antifa. Then more people would would have believed it.
I knew her back in the day. She was funny. She was a lot of fun.
People change. On to some music news. Country singer Morgan Wallen is in some hot water. Back during that whole controversy where he said the N-word, he had pledged to donate $500,000 to this organization called the Black Music Action Coalition. He has not donated $500,000 to them, they claim. He's donated only $165,000.
Well, maybe he's on a payment program. You know what I mean? You get so much for taxes per year. He didn't say he was going to do it all in one lump sum. At least there's some money been deposited.
Anyways.
Quit bitching. If I was them, I'd be like, if I was him, I'd be like, fuck you. I'm not giving you any more money because you're calling me out on how I'm giving you money. If there was no money involved, then okay. But you're saying that there's a check been cut.
I don't know.
Don't you think that's kind of shady of them to call him out if he's written at least one check?
Well, maybe they were asked. If they were asked by this outlet, it was Rolling Stone that did this expose, then I don't think that they should lie or give no comment. I don't know if they went. I don't necessarily think they went to the pub to Rolling Stone and said, oh, Morgan Wallen hasn't given us money.
I guess context is important here because it depends on, right. If they're asked and they say, look, it's charitable, we'll be honest with you because we're a charity and we have to be, that's one thing. But if they said,
I'm going to assume,
you know, they raised their hand.
Yeah,
you're probably right.
I'm going to assume that's what happened. So there's that. Speaking of music, exciting, although it'll be interesting to see how it does. The Fugees have announced that they are back together.
With Lauryn Hill?
Yeah, with Lauryn Hill.
Really?
You can't have the Fugees without Lauryn Hill.
Hey, listen, you can't have the Black Eyed Peas without Fergie anymore, and people attempt it. So
you can.
You know what I mean? Actually, like, all of the time.
I watched the Black Eyed Peas with that new singer. Her name is J. Ray Soul. Not only did I watch it, I know her name, because then I was like looking up her Wikipedia and everything. They performed at the Global Citizen Festival, and I thought that they did a good job.
I didn't know they had a new singer, so there you go.
Yeah, she's been with them for at least 2 years now, like an official member. Like, Fergie has been replaced.
Huh. It must have happened during pandemic because I interviewed them when they had the song out that J-Lo jumped on as well, whatever the hit-ish song was, and she wasn't in the group yet. And that was almost 2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I went on a hole this weekend, and I then was in a Fergie hole, and two interesting things came to mind. I was like, well, what the fuck is Fergie up to? So she's launched her own wine. I forget the name of it, but she did it in collaboration with her dad, which is nice. And then I also saw she's been gone from social media for 3 months. She's not posted anything. I texted one of my gays, and my gay said, I did not say this. This did not come from me.
But someone in the gay coalition did.
Yes. My friend was like, rehab? Question mark. I'm like, I don't know. I hope not. I mean, it is a little odd that she hasn't posted anything in 3 months. So I wish her well. I hope she's well. And I love Fergie. But do you think that the Fugees will be able, because they announced they're getting back together and they're doing an arena reunion tour, you think the Fugees will be able to sell out arenas?
I mean, those were big hits, but arenas?
But it was only one album.
Yeah.
And Lauryn Hill has that notorious reputation for being
insanely
late. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if they did guarantee that we're going to get her doing the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill and
as well,
those,
like I'm bonus,
in.
Yeah.
I'm in. Because that album and that body of music together, I mean, even Wyclef stuff, I would, yeah. If they say we're going to do all of the music, but if they just try to come out there with, you know, the one Fugees, like, sorry, I'm out.
Ready or not, here I come.
Here I come. Killing Me Softly. That was just such a moment. Great year. What year was that, Perez? Like
96?
96, 7? Yeah, 96.
96?
Maybe 6, yeah.
96.
I just got to New York.
And actually, I got also into this debate. If Doja Cat announced that she was doing an arena tour, do you think she could sell that out?
Maybe. I just think it'd be a bad look. She doesn't need to do that. She needs to build towards that. I wouldn't go too early if I was her. I'm not saying she couldn't. I just think it would be a mistake. Keep it smaller. Keep the demand high. Keep the build on.
Well, Dua Lipa's doing an arena tour, and she's been around just about the same time as Doja Cat.
And that is a bad idea, I think. I don't think she's got the catalog yet. She's got, what, 3 hits?
She's got a ton of hits.
Hits. I mean, like, songs that everybody knows. New Rules, the latest one that really didn't become a hit till What's His Fuck was put on it.
The Baby.
And I don't know. That's another case of going too soon. I've still never seen her do a great, like, not just, it's kind of like a cheerleader performance. That's all I keep seeing from her.
She was great in the Grammys. I love Dua Lipa.
She looks hot. I'll give her that.
I loved it.
For stadiums. I love her too. I just don't know if it's stadium ready.
I had the best weekend because I was able to rest. It wasn't too overly busy. And I was watching all these old videos of performers from the 80s and the 90s. And I'm like, fuck, I miss the days when artists used to sing 100% live. Mm-hmm. Nothing to track.
It's kind of my point. Even Madonna.
Yeah. Like, I was watching a lot of old Gloria Estefan clips, 100% live. A lot of old Debbie Gibson. I'm in a Debbie Gibson hole after seeing her in concert in Vegas.
I saw you post the Joey McIntyre video of those two doing Grease. That was great.
It was so fun. I have a bunch of highlights from their show on my The Perez Hilton YouTube channel, if you guys want to check it out. I keep fantasizing about, like, life in Vegas if I moved there. Like, Debbie Gibson could be my neighbor. We could be besties. But then it's like, what if I move to Vegas and it's like New York and I want to move back to LA? Then it's like so expensive to move and uprooting my kids and all of that.
Yeah.
Anyways, in more music news, not news, like, just to check out, there's this song I think can be a hit by that rapper Lotto. She used to be called Mulatto, then she rebranded and now is just known as...
Oh, really? I knew her music. I didn't know that she changed her name. Okay. She was good, too.
There was controversy over that name. She was accused of colorism, so she decided to change it to just Lotto, L-A-T-T-O. And she's got a song called Big Energy, which samples... Oh, my God, what's the sample in it? It's driving me crazy. Samples Mariah Carey's Fantasy from the 90s, which that song also sampled another song. I forget what song that sampled, but I think she built it off the Mariah sample. Mariah needs to hop on a remix of that because, like, I was waiting for that. Anyways, check that out, and let's take some calls. Oh, before we take some calls, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Good thing too, you're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. Let's take some calls.
This is Mike calling from Boston, and this is for you, Booker. Booker, I used to think you were a blowhard and an arrogant hater of everything, but the way you came on and defended the greatness of Schitt's Creek, well, it completely changed my opinion of you. And that you would talk of character evolution and the organic nature of the show, well, it's made you my new hero. And I find it kind of ironic that you being the straight guy and Perez being the gay guy, that you would have to defend the show that has the greatest portrayal of a gay relationship in the history of television and cinema or literature or whatever. Perez, I'm sort of disappointed with your shallowness. I don't think, Perez, that you bully Chris Brown, but this, it's almost bullying of a great, great show.
Very solid points made during that analogy.
I will say I am thankful that clearly that person listens to our show. Yeah, thank you.
Hi, guys. It's Kathy from Colorado. I'm listening to you guys talk about the YouTuber that was missing. The parents absolutely knew. The boyfriend's parents absolutely knew. So I read that when the police finally went to the house, they asked for the boyfriend, and the parents gave the police the business card of their lawyer and told police, contact the lawyer. If they didn't know or he didn't do anything, why you have to provide a lawyer's business card? I don't know. It's very bizarre, the whole thing. On the other hand, there are 27 indigenous women who are missing, and you don't see that on the news. Anyway, love you guys.
Can't believe the number's only 27, to be honest with you.
No, I know. I mentioned that last week. I think the whole social media angle definitely made it sexy at the beginning. Oh, it's a YouTuber, you know, even though she barely had any followers on YouTube, and even though she didn't have that many followers on Instagram either, but packaging that way made more people invested or interested. I don't know. I agree with the caller.
Can you fault the press when something catches such heat online and everybody's talking about it, and they finally say, okay, well, let's just talk about what everybody else is talking about? But then they go after the press and say, hey, there's a bunch of missing people that you guys aren't covering. It's kind of this weird catch-22, you know, like you want to be talking about what people are talking about. You can't help it that they're not talking about the other 26 missing people, you know? So
yeah, and that, there's still no resolution with that one Gabby Petito story. That guy's still missing, and who knows?
Hey, guys, it's Laura. Big TV whore, so I watched everything, and Schitt's Creek is one of the best shows on TV, and I agree with you, Booker. Please don't listen to Perez. Character buildup, you have to care about the characters to care about the show. So there are some laugh out loud moments, so you should try to watch it, Perez. And then also, Ted Lasso, Booker, I think is even more well-written than Schitt's Creek. It is probably one of the best-written shows on TV. I love it, love it, love it too much.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's a lot of fun. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
I'll say this. This could be controversial, and it'll almost be as fought over as we've talked about Schitt's Creek. Ted Lasso is phenomenal. It's a phenomenal show, but it is a little bit overrated.
Because it
is well written, but if you're going to compare it to some of the greatest shows, you know, Schitt's Creek, I think, is six seasons. This is...
What did you enjoy more, Ted Lasso or Schitt's Creek?
Schitt's Creek, without question. Whoa. And I love Ted Lasso. Don't get me wrong. I love it. I'm in the middle of season two right now, which is, we're not even at the end of season two yet. And it's really good. But that first season was phenomenal. But it's not like it's a story that you've never heard before. And I guess you could say the same for Schitt's Creek. Family loses it all, has to move to a crap town. You know, they move into this hotel, which is funny, and, you know, run this business. But I tell you, Schitt's Creek's just about the evolution of the family, them becoming a family for being such pukey people. They were horrible, horrible people. And by the end of them, you love each and every one of them for their flaws and everything. It really is a great show. Schitt's Creek deserves all of the accolades that it got. Last call.
Hi, this is Erica calling from Miami. So I've been a listener for a few years now, and I said, okay, well, let me check out this YouTube link. And God, please don't ever make me do that again. I can sit through traffic listening to you guys, but I cannot sit for an hour just staring at two faces talking to each other. It just doesn't work for me. Also, Perez, your voice does match your face, so I've always imagined you as a talker with hands. But Booker, God, you look like Pepe Le Pew with the mustache, and the voice does not match. You have such a radio voice, which is very sexy, but I just did not see it matching your face. No offense, you're so cute,
okay. But
a little Pepe Le Pew-ish.
Pepe Le Pew.
I love you guys. You keep doing a great job. I have no question. I just wanted to comment on stop telling me to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with her. First of all, it's funny. Pepe Le Pew is the perfect analogy of me. I am French. I do have the stupid mustache. I get it. I can see where she got that from. That's funny to me. And I wholeheartedly agree with her. I think this show fucking blows on camera. I hate it. If we would stop it tomorrow, I couldn't be happier. I only do this to appease Perez. Matter of fact, I don't make any money from it at all. $0. It's on his YouTube channel. I don't make anything from it. I'm with you. It fucking blows. The audio version is so much better.
Podcast One was the one who said we should do this and that it helps them with their ad sales.
Podcast One, what do they know?
They know more than you do.
I'm just going to get back to the opinion of hers. I agree wholeheartedly. This fucking sucks. And Podcast One, it fucking sucks.
Well, we had to do what all the other podcasts do. Almost all other top podcasts now are on video.
When anybody starts a sentence with, it's what everybody else does, you know that's the biggest turnoff you could ever say to Chris Booker. I fucking hate doing what everybody else does. I'd rather do one thing great than 42 things okay. And I feel like this video version is just okay.
She's well, then right. Don't
it's
watch
staring
it.
At two people, and people don't have to. That's
but
what
they
I mean.
Could.
I just agree
but
with
to
her.
That,
that's all.
But to that woman, she could listen to the YouTube version the same way that she listens to the other version, and we would get the views.
Was Pepe Le Pew gay?
No.
Or was he like really into girls?
He was really
he
into
was really
girls.
Into girls, right? But was he a skunk? He was a skunk, right?
Yes. And he was inappropriate. They've kind of phased out that character.
I am fucking Pepe Le Pew. I love it.
He was a sexual abuser.
Oh, he was?
Well, now we view it through that lens. Yes, a lot of people like he would kiss women without permission.
I look like Pepe Le Pew. I love it. Well,
all right.
Pepe
well,
out.
Thank you guys for listening and watching. Oh, I don't think we mentioned our number. Call us 800-721-1185. 800-721-1185. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Pluto TV is playing the biggest movies every night this summer for free. Watch hit movies like The Matrix, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Scary Movie, Runaway Bride, and more all summer long. Check out the biggest stars like The Rock, Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise, Julia Roberts, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and more. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of free TV channels in English and Spanish featuring TV shows, news, sports, comedy, and more all for free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device, including Android and Apple smartphones. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Hey guys, this is Kale Lowry.
And this is V Rivera.
We're the hosts of
Baby Mama's No Drama.
Every Tuesday, we talk about parenting, co-parenting, lifestyle, and sex,
pop culture, current events, and pretty much all the things you want in one podcast.
So download and subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
Listen to us every Tuesday and join us with all the tea.